And it's been a big week for rain-affected homeowners. Marama may have mentioned there they're going to extend the state of emergency in Auckland for 7 days, although it may not last that long. And it's been a big week for people dealing with the initial damage and then navigating through insurance companies and putting in their claims. And while you may have been insured for this weather-related event, it's not a guarantee that you'll be covered for future flood damage. Emma Witz is an actuary working in risk analysis for the insurance industry, particularly for natural disasters, and she joins me now. Hi, Emma.
Hi, good to be with you.
Good to talk to you as well. Been a big fan of your work. I'd almost class you as an insurance communicator. Would you accept that role?
Oh, yeah, sure. I thought you were going to say, like, B-list insurance celebrity, so that's better than what I can come up with.
You speak mostly on Twitter about subjects related to the insurance industry and do a pretty good job of making them digestible by people who don't know the lingo. So what are your thoughts post-floods? What's your best advice to people when it comes to insurance?
Yeah, so obviously it's a really difficult situation that a lot of people are in, and in the short term it's all about kind of clearing up the damage and making sure that people have homes they can live in. I think the advice that I would give more broadly is actually to people who are looking at buying a home. I think flood risk and other natural perils and hazards are a really important part of what you should consider when you're buying a home. And I think that's the point at which, ideally, in an ideal world, people would be thinking about that, because obviously it's quite difficult to, there's not a whole lot you can do once you're owning a home.
So that's an extra sort of, layer of inquiry that you put into your home purchasing decision, right? And I remember looking for a home a few years ago and going to a place and they said, oh, by the way, it's on a floodplain. And we thought, ah, pish posh, it'll never happen. It is happening more and more often, and you're encouraging people to take that seriously.
Absolutely. So look at the LIM report, and if there's something on there, then take that very seriously. Look at whether you can find a council flood map. So, you know, look at what the council that you're living in has provided online. And again, take that information seriously. I think some of the stories we're seeing in the media around people who are unable to get, I know there was one article about a woman in Rotorua who was unable to get flood insurance. That's obviously a tragic situation, but, you know, the reality is that she did not get a LIM report. And the building that she lives in is unconsented because of the fact that, you shouldn't build there because of the floods or because of the flood risk. So, you know, those are really important things to consider. And I think potentially people sort of discount it and they focus on maybe the more fun parts of buying a house. You know, where am I going to be able to send my kids to school? What does the living room look like? You know, do they have a nice deck? But, you know, these questions around natural hazard risk are really serious and they can impact your safety and also the value of your home.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And people might say, well, hey, I've checked it out. This house that I'm buying is currently insured, which means I'll be able to get insurance as well. But that's not a static state, right? Things can change.
No, and I think what people need to be aware of is that insurance is a contract for 1 year. So the insurer has decided that they're willing to offer you this cover for this price for 1 year, and they can make changes to that. Now, that tends to come through in terms of price before it comes through in terms of availability.
Mm.
So what you'll tend to see is premiums go up. You'll still be able to get cover, but generally there tends to be affordability pressures before availability becomes an issue.
Yeah, we can offer you insurance, you just might not be able to afford it, or it might be totally uneconomic to buy it.
Exactly.
How much does a single event like this change the insurance industry, their policies and their approach to insuring against things like flood?
I think we have to bear in mind that they think about things in terms of the big picture. So one single event is unlikely to completely change their approach. And obviously we've had other events last year. So it's more of a continuation of a trend that we're seeing and that insurers need to take into account. And they also need to factor in things like increases to the price of reinsurance if that is an issue. So it's not, you know, they're not going to be reacting to a single event. It will be more of a another piece of information that they take into account.
Is climate change and the issues around it impacting your work as someone working in risk analysis?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, climate change is a huge issue in insurance, and it's something that insurers do take quite seriously, which generally speaking means that there's, you know, money involved. So yeah, that's a big part of my work, and it's, and I think it's only going to become more important.
So interesting to think how this is going to affect the market in the coming years if insurance premiums go up and then fewer people are willing to bid on properties that are in these areas. Presumably we'll have whole sort of sections of houses where either prices drop dramatically or they actually become unsellable. I mean, it's pretty hard to buy a house without insurance.
Yeah, you can't get a mortgage if you don't have insurance. So at that point, and I do want to say, like, as I mentioned earlier, the affordability pressures come in before it becomes unavailable. So I don't want to make it out like, you know, people are going to have their cover withdrawn next year or anything. That's fairly unlikely to happen. But if you do find yourself in a situation where you can't get insurance, then no one can get a mortgage on this home, right? And then you can't sell that. And at that point, you know, you're sort of underwater in more ways than one, effectively. Because you've got a house that's not worth very much and it's, you know, a very risky place to live at the same time.
Are everyday people, homeowners and insurers, generally working off the same information?
I think, obviously, insurers have information about claims and they often have natural peril models that they refer to, and homeowners don't have access to that. What I think is really important is that we put this information on the limbs, and that's something that in some places has happened, and in other places the councils have faced fairly extreme pushback when they've tried to do that, including legal action, because property owners in these very high-risk areas are aware of the fact that once it's on the limb, it becomes a deciding factor when someone goes to buy their house. But that's the point at which people need that information in order to make an informed decision.
Is that a council imperative, something that they need to be firmer with?
It is. The National Adaptation Plan included one of the things that was put forward, and that was putting that information on limbs. And I'm really hoping that, you know, if central government gets behind it, potentially it will have a little bit more of an impact than what individual councils can achieve by themselves.
Mm. Can you make yourself more insurable or bring your premiums down by taking steps to floodproof your house?
It's an interesting question. I don't think in New Zealand, I don't think that is something that insurers take into account at this point in time. In Australia, I believe it is. So it will likely be heading in that direction. Generally speaking, you know, Australia is a little bit ahead of New Zealand in terms of how they price their insurance policies, and I do think some insurers take that kind of thing into account. So I would imagine that could be something we see in the future as well.
Do insurers tend to follow each other, or is it possible that different insurance companies will take different approaches and have a different view on the same property?
So this is quite an important question. So there is sort of a move towards what we call risk-based pricing, which means that each individual property gets a price that's specific to the risk we believe that property has. And once we have one insurer that moves in that direction, so moving away from sort of the level of cross-subsidization that we still see quite a bit of in New Zealand, once we have one insurer that moves in that direction, which in New Zealand is Tower, they've made that you know, they've started to make that transition. There is pressure on the other insurers to do the same, because if they don't, they will inevitably end up with the worst risks, because they'll obviously be offering a premium that's better to those worst risks than an insurer like Tower.
And I know you said earlier that insurers tend to react for big picture stuff rather than individual events, but is there a chance that the cost of this event to insurers will have a direct effect on future premiums for everyone else in Auckland and around the country?
I think there is the possibility that it could increase premiums, but I think that is more because it's sort of a continuation, or it's sort of a fairly extreme example of a trend that we've seen continuously now for many years. So flood and storm claims over the past, in 2022 and 2021 were very high as well. Not as high as what we're going to see from this, but they were substantial because of Westport and Nelson in particular. So they are going to look at that trend and say that likely changes need to be made. I think that is quite likely.
Thanks for your analysis today, Emma. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Emma Vitz talking about flood insurance with advice for future home buyers.